Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll have Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us in the 8 o'clock hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. So looking forward to that. Speaking of the Titans, Legarius Sneed, the newest cornerback for the Titans, addressing the media yesterday. He was also on with Caroline, Willie, and D-May. So Legarius Sneed making the round yesterday. Talked about a lot of things. Talked about how excited he is to be here in Nashville, the role that he's going to play on the defense, the different sort of coverages and sorts of, you know, style of play that he brings to the table. Obviously, he was really effective last year with Kansas City. He is one of the top handful of corners in the league by the numbers. And a big move by the Titans to go out and get him. Now, one thing that's come with Legarius Sneed has been some concern out there about his knees, and he was asked about that both in his press conference yesterday and when he was on with Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Here's what Legarius Sneed had to say about his knees on our midday show, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace yesterday.
Titans fans, I'm here to tell you that you don't have anything to worry about from Legarius Sneed knee. Legarius Sneed is going to go out there every practice, every game, and give you my all. Go back and watch the film. I gave everybody my all, no matter what was my knee, because the condition that my knee was in. My knee is in great position. You know, I know what to do to maintain my knee, or whatever I need to do, you know. I got what this end of my part, you know. I'm just going out here and play ball. You know, just give Tennessee Titans fans and this organization all of me. So the knee is not a problem.
So that was Legarius Sneed yesterday on with Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace.
Can you actually – do you have right after that? Because Caroline asked him, I'd like to run that if we can.
Just in case the knees do become an issue. I know a lot of people are relieved to hear that you said that it won't be an issue. But did you agree to sign a waiver contractually if the knees do become an issue?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't sign a waiver.
Is the money fully guaranteed?
Yes.
So there you go. No waiver signed by Legarius Sneed, according to Legarius Sneed. Money is fully guaranteed, and he says the knees are nothing to worry about. What'd you make of Legarius Sneed, both in that setting yesterday and his press conference, making sure that he threw it out there, that the knees are not an issue?
First of all, good question by Caroline there.
Agreed.
I mean, look, you know, it's an intro of a player. This is a huge question because – and I'll say this, like early on when they got him and it was like, okay, so he had swelling in camp. He played all year. You know, whenever someone leaves a market, and we were having this kind of conversation with Stilly, who of course had to come up to press row at Bridgestone last night and be eviscerated again by me about his basketball take about the Vols.
Photographic evidence taken about that too.
Yeah, it was a very good. Yeah, your expression on your face with Alex Doherty's picture is pretty amazing. By the way, did you notice how he never actually really defended his take because he knows it's awful? Like, basically his comeback is like, you were red as a tomato. I was like, well, that is true.
You are.
So Stilly basically has apologized and admitted that he had an atrocious take, but he also was talking about Sneed and the knee, and it's like, you know, when someone leaves a market, like when AJ Brown left here. My goodness, did the spin cycle work start going with some people? My goodness, did the spin start? Oh, look how hurt he was, blah, blah, blah. And you know, and a lot of fans just kind of talk themselves into, yeah, he's never going to stay healthy for them. So I'm a little wary of that. Now, Jared told us last night that, like, there's a radio guy, I forget who it is, has been saying this before he left. But he also probably knew that he was on the door. So I'm just saying, like, I have been skeptical of all these questions about the knee, because based on the facts, the performance is there, the participation is there, swelling in camp, you know, doesn't really, to me, raise that much of a red flag. However, listening to Sneed talk about it yesterday, actually I felt like it's a bigger deal now after, like, you know, just even any, and it's a press conference too, which I wasn't able to attend, but talking about you know, like the maintenance of it and everything, I mean, really confirming that he has issues. Right?
Yeah.
Confirming that he has issues and he's going to be fine. He's going to do what he needs to do. It's like, okay, so what exactly is the issue? Because I will agree, with Stilley and others that the compensation for this is low, lower than I would have guessed in both ways, in both in terms of draft capital and contract. I mean, based on what he was looking for. And then there's this report about, by the way, who had the report about the Vikings bailing?
Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride.
Okay.
On March the 29th is when that was reported. Then, if you missed it, said that the Vikings, quote, considered sending the Chiefs a 2024 fourth-round pick and a 2025 third-round pick in exchange for Sneed, but they discontinued discussion due to his medical history, was put in there.
Yeah, okay. Pete Sweeney. All right. I don't know Pete Sweeney or what is it? Would you say Arrowhead Pride?
Arrowhead Pride.
Okay.
It is, I believe, is it an SB Nation site?
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, the compensation is interesting, and it does make you think that there's something here. And, yeah, like listening to him talk about it yesterday, obviously he's like, no, there's no waiver, and I'm good and everything, but I know how to maintain my knee and stuff like that. I'm like, oh. Okay, so this isn't
right,
just
like maintaining is different than nothing's wrong with it, right?
Exactly. Like this wasn't just something that happened in camp and then people were worried and then it's like, oh, no, he's fine. He got over it. It's fine. Like it's not like he had to have a scope and then you're fine.
Right.
It's something. It's a thing. And I mean, the compensation probably speaks to that to some extent.
We talked about this yesterday off the air. Like I am surprised – For a player that's as good as he is and a player that's as young as he is, the fact that he went for a 2025 third-round pick, which is basically like, you know, we've talked about this before, but it's like the equivalent of a fourth-rounder this year because it's a year out. The fact that he went for a 2025 third-round pick is surprising, right? I mean, I thought he would go for a second this year. To whatever team it would be, and it didn't happen. So that part does kind of make me raise my eyebrow a little bit. Okay, exactly why was the price for him as low as it was? And look, Joe, this is a probably something we won't know definitively the answer to until this whole thing plays out here. But, like, if other teams were saying, yeah, thanks but no thanks, we don't like the knee on Legarius Sneed, and the Titans were the one that pulled the trigger, and this ends up blowing up in their face. Like, that's going to be a pretty big deal on the Rand Carthon front. So, I mean, in some ways, this is a big risk for Carthon to not only make the trade, but also pay the contract and guarantee the money at $55 million.
Yeah. And again, it's been downplayed. I just think that that yesterday, to me, upplayed it. And it's been downplayed. And again, I've been skeptical of the. Yeah, the noise out of Kansas City because it's just like there's so many things like this.
It happens a lot.
It's like in recruiting, right. You know. Oh, yeah, we didn't want that guy anyway. Yeah, Alabama had 5-star. We didn't want that guy. Yeah, you know. I mean, it's always
AJ Brown's got an attitude problem, and both his knees are hurt.
Exactly, or whatever. The coach was an idiot. Yeah. It was all John Robinson's fault. Whatever it is, I mean, like whoever leaves. Then let's put everything on that person, and it's bad, and you're not getting someone great, and we didn't lose someone great. You know, there's always that element of situations like this. But, yeah, listen to him talk about it. There's something there. So I still think that the performance last year, the participation, and the level of play, I'm
pretty
like, it looked okay to me. But does this mean that – I mean, you know, maybe does this mean whatever it is, and whatever that he has to do to maintain the knee that he says is just in good shape or whatever, but is it something where like the end of the contract it starts, you know, like is there a ticking clock like with Tyjae Spears?
Would people believe that? Well, we should ask him if he's got an ACL.
I guess that's true.
Do you have an ACL?
It's a fair direct question.
There's a player that the Titans have that doesn't apparently. Yeah. So do you have one?
How many players without ACLs do they have? 53 players on the roster, 51 ACLs.
615.
No, I'm sorry. That'd be no. Hold on. No,
times two.
Two knees. Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
615.
104 ACLs.
There are only 51 total ACLs on the Titans roster. It's a bad place to be. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Your thoughts on Legarius Sneed? Are you concerned about the knee? Did his comments yesterday put it to bed for you? We'll also get to some Rand Carthon comments from yesterday as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com will join us a little bit later here in the program. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge and fill out your 4-team bracket to compete to win prizes, including tickets to see Creed at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on August 13th. You can bet your bottom dollar that Joe Rex Road will be in the front row of that concert coming up on August 13th.
Yeah,
your bottom
with
dollar.
A gun at me from behind from somebody.
Probably just in adoration and good friendship of our friend Scott Stapp.
Yeah,
going to support him.
Scott Stapp.
1025 The Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and L'Jarius Sneed, 615-737-1025. Andrew on the text line says, I don't think it could be more low risk, high reward. Next year's third means a little, but I could not care less about Amy's money. Way to go for it, Rand. Andrew, not concerned with the risk the Titans have taken with L'Jarius Sneed's knees here.
I mean, look, it's obviously it's going to be something to track, and his, you know, his participation in camp, all these things. It's not nothing. I mean, I think yesterday his answers made it clear it's not nothing.
You know? I agree.
So
honestly, as long as he plays in the games, I don't even care. Like the practice part of it, I don't really care about either. Just play in the games.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, he's a really good cornerback, so I don't think it's too complicated. I mean, you know, if he's able to come out on Sundays and play like he did last year, and they can get multiple years of that, then great, good signing. But we'll see. I mean, you know, maybe it is something that's going to get worse, or is going to start to affect his participation.
Well, and if that's the case, that's obviously not good. You know, you're talking about when he's on a very good corner, and you know the defense as a whole. We've talked about this building from the back end. There's still some work to do up front with edge rusher, with defensive tackle, all those things. But corner with McCreary, with Cheeto coming in, and now with L'Jarius Sneed, you're feeling pretty good about. The last thing you want to see if you're a Titans fan is you get this cornerback group that you finally feel pretty good about, and then September rolls around and L'Jarius Sneed can't get out there on the field because the knee is a problem. So, I mean, look, if he gets like a random knee injury this season and misses like two games, people are going to start freaking out. Like, as long as he plays in the majority of the games, like, we got a texture that says, you know, if he makes it 3 out of 4 years and it's worth it, he could be cut after the third year. Like, I agree. Like, if you get 3 years out of this and he's playing at, you know, relatively high level, close to what he did last year, then you'll take that if you're the Titans.
Texture says Sneed's knee is the same issue as A.J. Brown's knee. A lot of people didn't have a problem with A.J. Brown's knee. I'm not sure anybody would have a problem with Sneed's. I guess that's the same text you just read, or part of it.
It is.
But here's my argument, though. A.J. Brown had a scope after one offseason, which, of course, as you may recall, he a little loopy in the hospital and doing like a Twitter Spaces or whatever he was doing.
Instagram Live, I believe is what it was, yes.
So
Live from the surgery room.
Yeah, so that's not – I mean, I don't know what the Sneed situation is, but I don't think it's just like he got scoped and then move on. You know what I mean? I think with A.J. Brown, it's like he got scoped. I think maybe both of them scoped, had some tendonitis. This could be and potentially more serious. And another thing about that to bring up, the compensation for A.J. Brown was, you know, was major.
Yes.
So that wasn't like – this does look like – the market was softer for him than anticipated. So why would that be?
Why would that be? And if the Titans are the one team that I guess didn't care about that, what does that say? I mean, we've talked about this before. And again, this is different general manager, now a different coach and a different regime here. But we've talked about it, like, you know, with the medicals and drafts, right? Like Caleb Farley, there were, we talked about this leading into the draft process. There were teams that said, yeah, no thanks. We're not touching Caleb Farley with a 10-foot pole just based on the medical. And the Titans obviously were willing to do that, and it has not worked out very well for the Titans from a medical standpoint. Like, it's, again, different GM, different head coach, different decision makers, all those things. But, like, if the rest of the league is saying, yeah, no thanks, we don't really feel good about L'Jarius Sneed's knee, and the Titans say, yeah, we don't care, bring him in, we'll pay him the money, and it ends up not working out, like, that's another example of, like, okay, like, what exactly is going on here with the medical decision-making of the Tennessee Titans?
So we're always putting on John Robinson, like, he loves all these hurt, but maybe it's Amy. Maybe it's Amy Adams Strunk.
Maybe.
Prefers injured players. I don't know. Do we have to start investigating that?
Now, Ryan, I want you to go out there and find as many hurt people as you can find. Bring them in here. Get them cheaper.
It's like, you know, bringing people back to health, maybe. I don't know.
What do you make of the no waiver? Again, I thought a good question about Caroline, but apparently no waiver signed by L'Jarius Sneed and the contract fully guaranteed.
Yeah,
well, which I guess is what I expected.
He seemed a little annoyed by the question.
He
but,
did.
I mean, it's been a thing. It's been reported. There's been something, you know, like he said. Look at the film. The film, he's right. If you look at the film, what are you worried about? Film was great. I mean, and ultimately, that's pretty encouraging, but still. It's obviously a thing, and so that's a fair question on the contract, and he said no. So,
well, as a texter brings up, like they said, who would this fall back on, Amy Rand or the doctors? Wasn't he, quote-unquote, cleared by the medical staff?
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we talk about this stuff, and you don't want to over – I'll be interested to get PK's thoughts on this, and I know he's written some about this. Yeah, they did their – Matt from Ferry did the – don't they test in the physical? Yes. Looked at his knees. All that stuff. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's not like all of a sudden he's coming in here with, seriously, like in all seriousness, like with no ACLs and, right, you know, yeah, and just running around. I mean, yeah, they did their diligence. It does seem like maybe there's some level of risk, some level of, like he said, his word, maintenance on the knee,
yeah,
right? So there's some kind of condition where he has to deal with it. So, you know, we don't have all the information, but you gotta hope that the Titans medical people said, yeah, you know, it should be. And like the texter said, you know, I mean, to me, what's your window of like where you think you could possibly get to be a really good team? I mean, you know, really, if you have a good offseason here and next year, then it could be quickly. You need him to be available in that window. So That's how you judge the success of a contract. So if you get 3 years from him on this,
you'll take.
Yeah, and if his knees are then a huge problem and it's going to be whatever it is after that, you know, then that's not your concern.
Exactly. Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Coming up at 6 o'clock, see your Preds star players up close and personal, plus your chance to get autographs and pictures as well. Tonight's special guest are Spencer Stasny and Mark Jankowski. Smashville Live brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company and ESPN Bet Sportsbook. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
How much does the trade and signing of Sneed move the needle for you this year? I mean, that seems to be a very large piece to this equation.
Yeah, I mean, it helps us tremendously out from a coverage standpoint on the back end. And, you know, if you guys know Denard and what he wants to do, I think the guys that we signed in Cheeto and LJ, I think they both, you know, fit what he wants to do from a coverage standpoint. And then having Roger here, you know, Roger's played outside, he's played inside, and so he fits as well. So it gives us, you know, a legitimate, you know, top three out of the gate, and we're going to continue to add guys. We're going to expect guys that were here last year to step up, you know, and earn those other spots. But we're bringing in scheme fits for what we're going to do defensively.
That's Rand Carthon, Titans general manager, yesterday at the L'Jarius Sneed press conference. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. By the way, got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Tom Segura coming up at Bridgestone Arena on April the 12th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Tom Segura at Bridgestone Arena coming up on April the 12th. I got a texter that says, so where would you rate Rand/Callahan/Brinkers offseason free agent activity so far? Obviously, you have to put it all on the field for a real grade, some major contracts. So the effort is certainly there. It's from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Well, we've talked about the moves. I think they've made a lot of good moves. I like what they've done. I like what they've done on paper. That's all we've got is what it is on paper. On paper, I think Calvin Ridley's a really good receiver. Cushion Berry's the best center that you could have gotten out there. The two corners, I mean, it's just a complete transformation of that position. It has not been that strong on paper ever with the Tennessee Titans. And the thing is, we are sitting here, I think, rightfully and fairly talking about the concern of Snead and what does it all mean with the knee. But also, you flip it around, and if it turns out that he is the same guy and you got him for that price, then you took some level of risk, I'd say, and you won. Exactly. That's what we're going to find out. I mean, is it a win or a loss? I mean, right now, I'd say it's a terrific offseason free agency situation, understanding that they haven't addressed their biggest issue, but that they were probably always going to have to address it in the draft, which is, of course, left tackle.
Yep. And, obviously that part of this is going to play heavily into how we view the offseason. Like, if you can find your franchise left tackle to go along with what you hope is your franchise quarterback that you found last year, I mean, that's a heck of a back-to-back punch in the offseason, just from that alone, right, of the quarterback part of this and that foundational left tackle. And then you add in, you go get Ridley, who was the best receiver available, in most people's opinion, on the market. You paid the money to get him. You got the best cornerback on the market in L'Jarius Sneed via the trade. You got Cheeto coming in, who I think is a pretty good number two cornerback on the market. So, there's the number one center on the market you got. There's a lot that they've done. We talked about this when they made these moves. Some of these probably aren't going to work, right? Like, I mean, just statistically speaking, the odds would tell you that a couple of these moves probably aren't going to work out. A couple of them will, and a couple of them will hit big. But to me, the most important one still is yet to be made. Like, Ridley's great, Snead's great, all that's – free agency's awesome. But if you got to hit on the left tackle, and if you hit on the foundational left tackle, then I think that this is an excellent offseason at that point.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And did you hit? We don't know. So we know they'll get one.
Exactly. And we may not know that for a couple years.
Yeah. I mean, all you can do is evaluate things in the moment. After the draft, we're all going to grade the drafts. So what really – and I know some people do this. So what you really need to do is, okay, here are our grades for the 2021 draft, this year.
Yeah.
Then you can actually – and, I it's more and more become a thing. In fact, I think we at The Athletic had last year's grades. But I'd even to me, it's like give it like 3 years, and then you'll know. I mean, sometimes you know things immediately, but – for a whole class, like the Titans class last year?
Promising?
Could be really good. Could be not good. Yep. I mean, it's quarterback, Skoronski, Spears. I mean, there's a lot of Duncan. Duncan is at least like a worthwhile flyer where they got him. Is Wiley going to be a good tight end for the Titans? Is he going to be a regular moving forward? So – there's still a huge range of what that draft class could end up being. And so right now we're going to grade and evaluate these things, and all you can do is project.
Well, and then there's it's also about the different, ideology approach this offseason. Like, obviously with Callahan coming in, the offense is going to look different. You got Pollard at the running back position. And honestly, part of this is, they spent more money at running back than I thought they would, right? Pollard – it's not like it's dirt cheap to bring in Tony Pollard. So, if you'd have told me they were going to spend that much money at running back, I'd say, I guess I'll bring a Derrick Henry back. But they didn't, and they've gone a different way that way. So, the philosophy changed too. And, Carthon talked a lot yesterday about fit and scheme fit, and he was talking defensively and offensively. But I think that, to me, remains also a big part of this is Brian Callahan as a first-time head coach. And remember this, also as a first-time play caller. I mean, he's been involved in the play calling process with Cincinnati. But a first-time head coach and a first-time play caller with a new system, trying to mesh the old players that are still here from that last system to the new players you're bringing in now this offseason. There's a lot changing on the fly. And a lot of times when that happens in sports, it takes a while for that to really click. So, I mean, it's also one of those things where the additions they made, it could take a few games into the season before you really start to see them settle into a groove here and take over. And I think the left tackle factors into that too, right? Like, if they draft Joe Alt, people are going to expect Joe Alt to come in the first game and look like an all-pro. And as talented as he is, we've seen this before. That's really difficult to do as a rookie to come in and immediately be great. We've seen rookies come in and as the season goes along make tremendous improvement, but coming in and being immediately great, I think is really hard to do in the NFL.
Yeah. You just don't want someone to come in and like have a Taylor Lewan opening day of 2021 performance
right
away.
That would be concerning.
You know, so, but yeah.
Get his name back out there, though. Welcome back in.
Joe Alt!
Joe
coming back
Alt!
Out! what a day that was. Was that the day that the thing blew up, too? Or is that a different day?
No, the thing blew up, I think, the Colts game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was the Colts
with
game.
With Marcus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. No, but, yeah, I mean, it's right now, I have to really like what they've done. You know, you bring up running back. That is an interesting thing. You think about it, like, that money for Pollard plus the other guy as a third-round pick last year. That's a pretty significant investment in that position.
I agree.
But, you know, I hate to point to the Detroit Lions as an example of good football, but that's, an example of people were like, oh, my God, Gibbs, where they got him, what, 12th?
I think it was,
right?
12th, yeah.
And they paid Dave Montgomery a pretty good – I don't know what the number – they paid him a pretty significant – tell you what, they were a big part in tandem with a great offensive line, but they were a big part of the success, man. Jared Goff's life was so much easier with those two backs and the protection he got and just the winning up front helped him a lot. It turned him into a better quarterback than he is, frankly.
So on the wide receiver front, if they go – left tackle with number 7 overall and pick your other position at 38. Defensive end, defensive tackle, you know, tight end, whatever. Whatever they do, if it's not a wide receiver. You comfortable with Treylon Burks, wide receiver 3, heading into next season?
Well,
think about last year we were talking about potentially wide receiver 1. So are you comfortable with wide receiver 3?
Yeah. I'm comfortable with him having an opportunity in this offense and just kind of a reset. With his talent level, with what seems to be a desire to, you know, to figure it out, and understanding that if it has to be NWI receiver 3, yeah, that's fine. I mean, is NWI better as receiver 4? Yes. But he's a good fallback if it's just not happening for Treylon Burks. I don't hate the opportunity for him because I have not closed the door on him figuring something out in this league. And he's got the insurance policy. I'm sure that, you know, Callahan and all these guys are going to love NWI just like Vrabel did because, I mean, it's not like Vrabel's the only one who talked about what he does as a professional and, you know, the fact that he can go out there and make plays, make some nice blocks, important part of the game.
It is.
Whether you like it
digging
or not.
Digging out of safety, yeah.
That's right. Got
really
to do
important.
It. Well, I mean,
it is.
Derrick Henry will show you some of
his
big
important.
Runs and say, yeah, if he didn't do that. Then
it's very important.
Yeah, okay.
Very important.
Just admit it.
Tight end, too. Like, I think you brought up Wiley. Obviously, I think there were some moments last year where he looked good. Chig, I think fair to say, did not live up to expectation last year, although I did think he got better in the second half of the season after, I think, having a pretty bad first half of the season. Like, that position group, too, how good can they be with this scheme change, with the new coaching staff? Like, when you think about Cincinnati, like, you didn't think of the tight ends being a major factor, but they had Chase and Higgins. So, like, I mean, they're going to throw the ball to Chase and Higgins. So, can Okonkwo and Wiley give them more in the passing game than they got out of them this past season? And not just significantly more. Can they be significantly better players, bigger factors in the offense? Because, you know, I mean, you're running down the list of positions they need. I still think they could probably add a tight end, but I think with all the other needs you have in the draft, that'd be a tough sell to go tight end unless it's Brock Bowers.
Well, yeah, but I also, I mean, when you have those two guys on the outside and now you have two backs you're throwing to, I mean, how much opportunity is for their – those? They just have to be – to me, it's like they have to be good when they get their opportunities. And Chig last year squandered too many.
Exactly.
So I don't know. Like, to me, I mean, I think this offense can function really well without big numbers from the tight ends based on how they've invested in other people who are going to catch the football. But those guys have to – and, you know, Chig has to be – not predictable, has to be good enough as an inline tight end.
But Chig was so good after the catch his first year, yeah. And you just didn't see a ton of that last year, which was surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, he was, as much as we talk about Burks in camp fooling everybody, Chig in camp also was like, I mean, they were getting him loose deep for big plays. I'm like, oh, wow, watch out for Chig this year. And then, so you know, Burks overshadows him in terms of camp lying, but he was right there after him.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You missed an impassioned Rex Rant yesterday. If you missed it, go back and check that out. We'll see what Rexroad has cooked up for us next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game. What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
Ah, the gift that keeps on giving. That's the second time I brought up Scott Stapp on the program today.
Listen, I got to say, I think you got to run the – I think it's a way better clip when he's like, is that right? Did I get the right box of it? Yeah. Don't shorten it, man. It's like when you have a great song and you're on the radio, you got to cut it down to 3.5 minutes. No, that we got to run.
Did I say Rox Road right?
Did I say Rox Road? Is that right?
I bet he's listening right now, just – loving it. I'm sure he gave it to you.
Oh,
that one
I'm
time.
Sure he hate listens to us now, doesn't he? Yeah.
No, again, no us. It's all you.
Yeah, well, that's true. I know you're a fan. Speaking of hate listening, what is Kaharsi doing? He's not in here. He's like keeps texting us about stuff. Why don't you come in and talk?
I'm disappointed
he's
that he's
just
not
trolling
here
from afar.
You know, you had such a good rant yesterday that I felt like there's some positive momentum being built up, and he's not here to see it.
Yeah. I will not reach tomato face levels today with the rant, but I'm going to, of course, I'm going to bring it to hoops because, you know, gotta keep the hoops alive. So pretty big news yesterday in the world of ratings. Ratings has become just like everything, I guess. It's become this, like, let's scream at each other about something. Look at what these ratings prove, you know. But I gotta say, it's a pretty big deal here that Iowa LSU, the most watched women's basketball game, $12.3 million viewers. I mean, that's a number.
Million viewers? Yes. You said million-dollar viewers.
Oh, $12.3 million viewers. That totally makes sense.
A lot of money.
You know what I'm saying.
I do.
Massive number, okay, for that game, which is just a huge deal. I mean, it's just been awesome to see. For example, what did that beat? So, like, Tennessee-Purdue game. 10.4, so, you know, beat that. The Masters was 12-1. It beat all the NBA Finals. It beat every World Series game. I mean, that's big-time stuff, you know? Doesn't have to mean the World Series sucks. NBA sucks. Whatever, you know? Like people always have to – it always has to come down to that, right?
People always take things too far, yes.
So you got Aaron Torres from Fox Sports Radio – you know, this comes out, and so he has to immediately crap on it. And so he tweets out, and this is good too, by the way. NC State Duke, most watched Elite Eight game in 5 years, 15-1. That's big. That's up 34% from last year. And again, the Tennessee-Purdue was the as I mentioned, 10-4. That's the most watched one in 5 years. So great news on that front too. I mean, for both tournaments – what we're seeing is that America loves the tournaments. For women's basketball, it's a big step forward. And, you know, No doubt that Caitlin Clark is a huge part of that. And so, you know, she's going to move on to the NBA. I'm interested to see what that does for that league.
Agreed.
And I don't think that it's just you're just going to continue to – I mean, you have to consider her as a factor for sure, a huge factor. But, you know, Aaron Torres has to do this, you know, don't believe what the media is telling you about – yeah, everything the mainstream media sells you on men's college basketball is wrong. Don't let them feed you lies, you know. And then he says this NC State and Duke game had a 50% bigger audience than the highest rated women's game ever. Like every rant now has to be a math issue? I mean, last night we're sitting there with Stilly and there's like what? There's like a minute on the clock till the warm. I'm like, hey Jared, look, 9 minutes left.
He appreciated that one, by the way.
I'm going to do the math right now. I meant to do this before, but I didn't do it. Okay, so 15-1 is how much more than 12-3?
You talking about million?
Yeah. 12.3 plus 51 is 2.8, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 2.8 is 50% of 12-3? Holy crap, Aaron Torres, you've invented a new style of math. But the prevailing point is, like, it's great. It's great news. Both tournaments, great news. Yay. Does it have to become Twitter blabbing and screaming and bitching? Why?
Because that's what we do with everything now. Yeah. Is everything's got to be just blown out of proportion and taken to the extremes and overreact. Like, I'm with you. Like, the ratings for the women's game the other night, it's great. It's awesome. It's great. The ratings for the men's tournament, it's great. It's awesome. Like, I don't know why there's always got to be, like, some contest here of, well, what's better? What's better? What's better? Like, both things can be great. What's wrong with that?
Right. I mean, there's certainly some, like, insecure man babies out there who don't like women's sports, you know? So, there's that element, you know? But, yeah, but that's just this thing. As you said, with anything, you can find someone trolling. And it also comes to mind, like, a lot of what has happened in the last few days. First of all, like, Angel Reese talking about all the stuff people get on Twitter, which I'm sure it's awful. Also, like, it's like it is a universal answer to that, to young people, like, get away from that crap.
Yes.
I mean, it's not just young people. I guess it's all people. It's terribly toxic for your life. And then we also have just to throw in, since we can just hit on a grab bag of topics on this, you got the Louisiana governor saying these players should lose their scholarships for not standing for the anthem.
I did see that.
Keyser texted the other night, and he's like, what about the LSU team not being out there for the anthem? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't think that's abnormal. And I thought about it. I've been talking to some other people. It's like, actually, I think that more NCAA tournament games that I've covered than not, at least one of the teams is not. It's just timing-wise, like, if they go in the locker room and the timing changes and they're just not always out there for the anthem. But apparently this is a huge, huge issue now.
Apparently it is.
What if they would have won? Would he be okay? Like, if they would have won, would he be all right?
I don't know.
Your scholarships are in danger now because, like, no one told you to go stand out for the anthem. You're in your locker room and you had no idea. But your scholarship should be in jeopardy.
I preferred the scenario that I envisioned, which was Kim Mulkey standing in there giving the pregame speech, reading the article of the Washington Post, being like, this is bull crap. This right here, I don't like it. Oh, wait,
Sleazy.
We're late to get on the court? Okay, let's go play a game, guys. That's what I like to envision.
I hope that's true.
Reading an actual physical newspaper. We don't get enough of that anymore.
Yes. Yeah. If she was going to read that, that's how she would read it.
Yeah.
She says she's not going to read it, but that is how she would read it. So anyway, it's kind of like just a variation of like what I complain about a lot, which is complaining.
I'm just glad you didn't go tomato can today.
Yeah, I felt a little bit flush there for a minute. LD says, wait, do you have to be a man baby to not like women's sports? No, but if you tear it down all the time, then I have to assume you're a man baby. I mean, like, you don't have to go watch it. If you don't watch it, that's fine. Why do you have to crap on it?
Yeah. 615.
How insecure are you if you have to crap on it?
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans for the next hour with him. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.